Morning, everybody.
Morning.
So, welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the 19th Sunday after Trinity and the day when we celebrate Harvest Festival. Before we get going, a couple of thank yous are in order. Last night we had our Harvest Supper. There was enough food for us, the 5,000 and the 12 baskets left over. There was really stacks of food. It was really, really good. So a thank you to everybody who made that happen. And also, at the end of the service, do take an opportunity to look around at all the decorations in the church. A thank you to the flower team that did all of that. They look really, really good. I said it was Harvest Festival. So we have our harvest gifts up there. So if during the first hymn we could bring those up, I know David's going to organise that. That would be really good. Let's just take a moment of quiet and we'll prepare ourselves for worship. Lord, as we gather here in this place and this time, a familiar place, a special time set in our calendars, the Feast of Harvest, we thank you that we are here to meet with you afresh. May our gathering today be a time and space when we find a moment of meeting with you, when that veil that at times covers our world and our lives is removed and we see your glory. Glory revealed in the beauty of the universe you have created. Beauty revealed in the community we are part of. Beauty revealed to us in your precious word. And most of all, beauty revealed in the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's sing that first hymn, which is hymn number 75, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. Stone steps, that would be great. Thank you. As we stand, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your gifts to us, gifts from your good earth. We ask, Lord, that you will bless these gifts. We ask a blessing on the generosity of those who have given them, and we ask your blessing on those who will receive them. In Jesus' name this day we pray. Amen. So we meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Sit or kneel for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. As we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate faults. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. So, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect Prayer for Harvest. Eternal God, you crown the year with your goodness and you give us the fruits of the earth in their season. Grant that we may use them to your glory, for the relief of those in need and for our own well-being. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you'd like to sit, Roger will read to us from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Joel, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 21. Do not be afraid, land of Judah. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, you wild animals, for the pastures in the wilderness are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful. He sends you the abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now the New Testament reading, which is taken from Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people to ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from their faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you'd like to stand, we'll sing our second hymn, which is hymn 1229, Father, hear the prayer we offer. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. This is the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel. We begin at verse 25. Jesus said this, Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet, I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Pray that I may speak only in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit down. So our reading from Matthew's Gospel reminds us how important it is, I think, not to take all passages of Scripture and apply them directly to ourselves as if they had no original context and no history between when they were written and now. Here, Jesus tells his hearers that God will give them everything they need if only they set their hearts on the kingdom of God. Well, that's all very well, but we do, of course, know that throughout the ages, and still today, many, many people have perished for lack of food, clothing, and basic necessities. So that being the case, are we to assume that those unfortunates somehow failed to concentrate sufficiently on the kingdom of God? Whereas we, who have the good fortune to live comparatively sheltered, comfortable, and well-provisioned lives, are much better at keeping our hearts fixed on God. Well, no, of course not. Absolutely not. So what struck me in the reading of this gospel passage today is just how hard it is to hear Jesus say, do not worry about your life. Do not worry. You've got to be kidding. Most days, life can feel like one worry strung after another, like lights on a Christmas tree. Worries at work, an impossible deadline or an angry boss. Worries at home, maybe a child struggling at school or the cost of living. Worries about, well, you name it, the economy, war in Europe, war in the Middle East, the threat of terrorism, the friend whose child has just been diagnosed with cancer. You see what I mean. Worries surround us like bees around a honeypot. And I don't think it's just me. I think that generally we live in an incredibly anxious culture. And the daily news bulletins on the television certainly depend on worries at home and abroad to attract their viewers. Advertisements are constantly inviting us to worry about that one more thing, usually about ourselves. Whenever I go to a train station, I'm greeted by an announcer telling me what to do if I spot an unattended package. I've even been to a conference centre not that long ago, only to be greeted by a sign that tells me that today's threat level is yellow or orange, whatever that means. Well, I guess the orange is worse than yellow, but not quite as bad as red, but who really knows? Either way, it doesn't sound good. And there it is. Everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, there are visible reminders of just how much there is to worry about. So how in the world, then, can Jesus possibly ask us, no, actually command us, not to worry? So given all that, how then do we approach this passage from this gospel reading? So I think the first thing to bear in mind then is that we need some discipline in approaching a passage like this in order to understand what is going on. In other words, we need to be able to put this into some kind of context. You will have heard me say many times, context is everything. So how can we do this? Well, first I think, try to imagine the people that Jesus was speaking to. This passage is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And if you read the whole of this sermon, that's chapters 5, 6 and 7 from Matthew's Gospel account, you'll begin to build up a picture of a fairly settled, law-abiding crowd. They're not so well off that they're cushioned from day-to-day worry entirely, but for the most part, they're probably reasonably satisfied with their lives. Everything Jesus says to them is utterly provocative and challenging to that settled way of life. And I imagine that there is something in those listeners that wants to be provoked. Otherwise, what are they doing, following Jesus and listening to his teaching? Surely if they didn't want the message, they would have voted with their feet. So what then about us? Instead of concentrating on the reassurances offered here, we need perhaps to listen for the challenges. Not what God promises, which this crowd probably already has, but more what God asks. The radical picture of discipleship that Jesus sets out in the Sermon on the Mount is meant to shake us loose from all the petty things and instead get us excited by the possibility of a new and adventurous attitude to life. It is perhaps, I think, the kind of adventurousness that is found in God himself. The adventurousness we see set out in the first chapter of our Bibles, the book of Genesis. The first of many creation stories in our Bible. Yes, there's more than one creation story in the Bible. In fact, if you look hard enough, I think you can find at least 20 different creation accounts in the Bible. They always use different metaphors. They paint different pictures. They use different language. And we ought to read them all together, interpreting each one in the light of the others in order to get an overall picture. Because context matters. I leave you to invest in your own time where to find those 20-odd creation stories. But to get you started, I'll give you a couple of clues. There are, of course, two in the book of Genesis. I found 6 in the book of Psalms, and there is 1 in the book of Proverbs. There are 2 in Jeremiah, and 1 written by the prophet Hosea. And there are 3, possibly containing the best of all, in the book of Job. 1, brief, admittedly, in the Gospel of John. And finally, if you look hard enough, you'll find 4 in the book of Isaiah. All of these descriptions of God at work positively fizz with excitement. And as I read these, I get a picture in my mind. And in this picture, I kind of imagine God creating everything. Everything out of nothing. And I see the three persons of the Trinity shouting at each other. Come, come, look at this. So another few hundred types of trees. So another 1,000 different animals. This is going so well. Think about it. There's God roaming around in what he's already made. All that colour, all the scent, and the noise all spread out where once there was nothing. And God just loves it. On any one of those days of creation, God could have stopped, satisfied with what he'd made. But instead, he goes on and on until finally he makes something that is as like himself as possible. And then what does he do? He shares that glorious creation. In fact, he gives it away. He shares it with us, his final creation. Why? Because that's the whole point of it. That's why he set out on this project in the first place. The pleasure isn't just for himself. A pleasure shared is a pleasure tripled, especially if you're the Trinity. It looks like God, the Trinity, knew that long before he set out on this creation project. So, indulge me a bit further. Think about this image we've just painted of God, the Creator. In this image, we can see a joy in everything. A joy that resists the cares and worries of tomorrow. In all this, God knew the risks he was taking, and yet he still delighted in what he'd made. We hear that God saw that what he had made and pronounced it to be good. In fact, there were times when he said it was very good. And I can't help wondering if that's what Jesus was thinking when he was up on that mountain, looking down on the puzzled and hopeful crowd, giving his now famous Sermon on the Mount. Was he trying to get across to them some sense of that kind of delight in life and creation? So living totally without worry sounds to many people as impossible as living totally without breathing. Some people are so hooked on worry that if they haven't got anything to worry about, they worry that they've forgotten something. So when Jesus tells us not to worry about what to eat, or what to drink, or wear, he doesn't mean that those things don't matter. Far from it. It's about priorities. Put the world first, and you'll find it gets moth-eaten in your hands. Put God first, and you'll get the world thrown in. Nothing, though, can be more irritating than when someone tells you not to worry when you have genuine concerns about something. The question we face after hearing Jesus' teaching this morning is, when does a proper concern become an improper anxiety? We're being asked not to be unduly concerned about life's needs or the future over which we have little control. Our desires need ordering and disciplining so that they don't take complete hold over us. Our primary longing for God in prayer places all other hungers in their proper context. Good things lie on the other side of fear, and this morning, Jesus is daring us to test this out for ourselves. Many people speak of faith as if it means believing that something is the case, something is true, and signing up on the dotted dogmatic line. Jesus shows us that it actually means a relationship of believing in, of trusting, and of committing ourselves to the God whom we do not fully understand, and who still yet is the only source and the only focus of our deepest hope. Amen. As we sit, let's pray. As we reflect on today's Bible readings, we remind ourselves that you, Heavenly Father, are gazing at us with love and grace as we bring these, our intercessions, before you. We pray for our world. We pray for our broken world, where many live in poverty, fear, and conflict, where children are starving and sold into slavery. We ask that by a miracle of your grace, you will change the mindsets of those who seek to perpetuate violence and killing, and that governments would be responsive to the needs of their people and seek to bring peace. Also, Father, give strength and protection to those who work to protect the vulnerable and raise up righteous men and women to work for peace and reconciliation in our troubled world. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We pray for our country. We pray for the leaders of our country. Grant our leaders wisdom. Grant them compassion and a determination to do your will. Fill them with a love for truth and righteousness and a strong desire to work for the justice of all our people. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our community. We ask your blessing on those who give their time to help others, those who serve in local government, those who work in the police and the fire service, and all who look after the health of our local community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our church. Grant us a spirit of servanthood and a vision to lead our church in the mission to which you have called her. Help us all to remember that this is not the work of clergy alone, but that each one of us is called to be a disciple. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who are sick and bereaved. We pray that you would bring your healing and comfort to those who are suffering from illness or the loss of a loved one. We especially remember Gail Wellings, still in hospital, Rhoda McDool recovering at home from hip surgery, and Peter Nelson grieving the loss of Eve. We pray also for Samuel, grieving the loss of his grandmother. Pray also for Stephen and Linton and John. And in a short time of silence, we bring before you all those known to us personally who are in need of your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy. Finally, we pray for ourselves. Heavenly Father, we ask that you make us a people whose only concern is for others, a people whose first instinct is to give of ourselves and of our wealth, a people whose wisdom is demonstrated in the way we live our lives, a people who are confident to share with others the promise of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. These, Lord, are the prayers of your people this day. We ask you to take each one of these prayers and answer them in your own time and in your own way. And in the meantime, we pray that you will give each one of us expectant and trusting hearts. And so, merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would like to stand, we will affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as we say together, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all that is and unseen. Believe in one God, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, without him not made, not only in the heart, within things were made. Our Son, our vision, came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God is love. And those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. So may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And
we share with one another a sign of that peace. As we stand, we'll sing our third hymn, which is hymn 215, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. This morning we will use Eucharistic Prayer 1 on page 5. Eucharistic Prayer 1. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Let's sit or kneel for our prayer. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living Word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. Page 17, as our Saviour himself taught us, so we are bold to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. Holy and blessed God, you have fed us with the body and blood of your Son and filled us with your Holy Spirit. May we honour you not only with our lips, but in lives dedicated to the service of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The top of page 18, we say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights to the world, keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing our final hymn, hymn 112, For the Beauty of the Earth. We stand to sing.
Thank you.
we close with this blessing. As we go from here, may God go with us in the days ahead, keeping us close, keeping us connected, keeping us a community of faith, deepening our trust, encouraging our hope, amplifying our love. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and those for whom you pray, this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of God.